November 20, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show.
Elvin was there for a couple of years. Although Elvin was ready from the first time I heard Elvin, you know, he was, I could hear the genius there. But he had to really play. You had to start playing steadily. And every night or whatever you're going to play, you have to keep building, and it comes out. It's like, it was miles. It took me around 2.5 years, I think, for it to start developing, you know, like it was going to take the shape that it was going to take.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. Started off, John Coltrane talked a little bit. Frank Kosky, November 1966. Then we had Hallie Palumbo with Dupo. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I have aboard Hallie Palumbo.
Hi.
Welcome aboard, Hallie. We got to give Brother Blake Edwards credit for the connect, correct?
Yes. Thank you, Blake.
Absolute. Great cat, man. You know, he took care of Zev in his last. Beautiful. I got to see Zev in the late 70s.
Oh, that's, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's when the movement was like anything, right? There was no formula, no prescription.
Right.
But, Hallie, I'm curious about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical memory recollection.
Yeah, sure. My late mother was relatively young when she had me, so she had, like, unusually good taste in music. The most visceral musical memory I can think of is when I was like 12 years old, she had this huge book of CDs in her car that I would kind of flip through on long trips and put in my Walkman and listen to. Some of the records were actually Locust Abortion Technician by the Buggle Surfers. She really liked them a lot to the extent that
that's a good album.
Yeah, it's a great album. I still love it. But she would follow them around the country when they were touring.
I was going to say, their first Hollywood gig was with the Minutemen, Big Boys.
Oh, no kidding. Really? I had no idea.
Hallie, I wouldn't shit you. In fact, those days, Paul sang a lot. And Gibb did a lot of saxophone. They were four-piece. They didn't have King or Teresa yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Your mom would go gigs, go on tour with them almost.
She followed them around the country. She was like, she was obsessed with them when she was younger. So like I grew up listening to a ton of Butthole Surfers. Like when I was pretty young, like she did oil painting, and she would like listen to them while she was painting. So I kind of like grew up listening to them a little bit, and I still really like them. But maybe not as much as I did when I was like 12, 13.
Yeah. And they had many phases and stuff. In fact, when we did that gig, they didn't even have that EP, but that Pee-Pee the Sailor thing yet.
Yeah.
The Jello put out. So, in the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, actually. So, my mother played, she played fiddle. She didn't play violin in, like, any professional capacity or formal capacity, but she did do like quite a bit of folk music and fiddle. And so she would like walk around the house playing her fiddle, just kind of improvising. So she did that a lot. And as far as like other people, I actually started playing upright bass when I was in the fourth grade. So there was music in the house in that way too. I played upright bass for a long time and didn't stop until I was like maybe 18 or 19.
That wasn't from home, maybe school?
Yeah, it was, I did it at school, and then also I had a bass at home that I would practice. Yeah.
What I meant was, because I was going to ask you about school music, you know, choir, marching band, or shit like this, but you ended up on the stand-up bass, kind of in the orchestra?
Yeah, exactly.
And you learned how to read, all that stuff?
I did learn how to read, but I've forgotten completely because I don't play bass anymore. I was never great at it to begin with. I kind of sucked at it. So what I would actually do more of was, I was in both the jazz and bluegrass bands, in high school, and I would do a lot of improvisation, which I was pretty good at that, especially bluegrass. So I leaned more in that direction than like formal orchestral arrangements. I did more improv.
And the people you're playing with, fiddle players then?
Yeah, fiddle players. We had one banjo, and then we had me on upright bass. And that was pretty much it. It was a, kind of a small little bluegrass group.
You know, in the older days, bass was the jug.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
A lot of head
craziest
rush.
Thing.
A lot of head rush.
Yeah.
Holding it down. Piping. Okay, so, now this, okay, you brought the whole bass home for prac and stuff, but stand-up probably not so much rock and roll, so I'm wondering about garage band, bedroom band, basement bands that wasn't school, like with friends, peers?
No, actually, my musical history is relatively unusual because I stopped playing upright when I was like 18, and then I didn't even begin making music or pick it back up again until I was about 26. So I wasn't in any kind of band outside of upright bass and like the bluegrass band at school. Yeah.
But that's okay. Everybody's different. Joe Baiza, Sacred Trust, he didn't start guitar until he was 27.
Right, yeah. I was kind
of
like,
I guess. Years he was transcribing Charlie Parker songs. I mean, you know what I mean? And Vincent only painted his last 10 years of his life. So I'm just interested because maybe people hear when, you know, oh, I wasn't a child prodigy. I never could get into music. Bullshit, right? Anytime.
Absolutely, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm wondering, listening to the stuff you sent me, which I really dig, by the way.
Yeah.
It seems like you embraced tape recorder as an instrument.
Sure, I do.
When did that happen? You know, with the CB and the shortwave and all that.
Yeah, so my first record I put out when I was 26, that had a ton of samples of shortwave radio on it. And the reason for that is I've been interested in shortwave radio since I was like real, real young. Like I think like maybe 10 or 11, if I'm remembering correctly. And I didn't really make the connection to use it in my music until I was about 26. I thought like, there's some really good shit on shortwave radio, and I feel like I could repurpose it into music somehow. And then that's pretty much what my whole first record is. It's like a lot of shortwave radio samples and some Optigan and then a little bit of toy piano.
And what happened at 26?
Yeah, so it was after I graduated high school, which I had absolutely no interest in. I had no formal education. I did not really go to college except for like a few months of community college. And then I thought like, fuck this. Like I hate school. And so I dropped out. I kind of floundered for several years. I initially thought I was going to start writing in a professional capacity. So when I was like 22 or 23, like I would write all the time. And then when I was 26, I thought like, I want to try to do something different because I'm like kind of burned out on writing. And I thought like, okay, I have, you know, like GarageBand on my computer. I'm just going to go in there and kind of fuck around with it and drop some of my shortwave radio samples in there and like just mess around with it and see what I can make. So it was kind of like I started making music out of like a kind of a passive interest just to see like what I could do and what my capabilities were. And it ended up being really good. And my friend Nick put it out on his label.
Now, frustration with writing.
But yeah.
You're feeling creative urge to express yourself, right?
Yeah.
You had all been building up the vocabulary, the resource of the these samples, you say. What were they, on cassette? Were they electronic sample, pewter?
Sure. So when I was starting out, there is something called a web SDR, which is a like an online shortwave radio that you can listen to, and you can record samples directly from the program. So initially what I was doing, and I also still do this sometimes, was I made recordings directly from the radio online, and then I would use them in my work. But later than that, like now, I don't do that all the time. I will record shortwave radio samples from an actual radio, and I will record it with a tape recorder just because I kind of prefer the warmth. Like, it sounds a little bit more human and less like purely digital. So that's, sometimes I do tape recorder, and then more rarely I do digital web SDR stuff.
Now, you heard shortwave radio before you heard it on the internet, right? Did you hear it from a receiver?
Oh, yeah, actually. So my very first experience with shortwave radio was, me and my grandfather, when I was like, I think I said like 10 or 11, there was some family barbecue, and, me and him were like sitting inside, kind of like, fuck this. Like, I don't want to stand outside in the heat. And like, so he brought his shortwave radio up from his car, out of his car. And then we kind of sat down and listened to it for like hours. And we scanned through it and we listened to music from like all over the world. We listened to Radio Havana a lot, which they do kind of a combination of music and like news broadcasts. So yeah, my very first shortwave radio experience wasn't with a digital radio. It was with a real radio that my grandpa had. And that was like the first time I heard that, I'm like, man, this is something really special. And then I was just kind of obsessed with it ever since.
Did you know about the other way?
Ham? What do you mean?
Ham.
Ham radio, you mean?
Yeah, where you just don't receive, you transmit. I gotta tell you, there's kind of a factor in the old days. Greg Ginn, SST Records, he was big into that. I didn't know him at the time. He's 15 miles away in Hermosa Beach.
Sure,
which
sure.
In SoCal means forever.
Yeah.
But this is where I think he gets the idea of touring stuff, because he talked to people in different towns. And, you know, the Hollywood scene, I think only the Dills had a van. Those guys, nobody thought about touring, but Greg was way into that, and I think it was because of this ham radio thing.
Right. Yeah. Ham radio is not something that I'm entirely familiar with, because like the concept of ham radio is like you're broadcasting your own voice and like your own speech to other people.
Yeah.
And then they can respond to you. And that's not something that I really was able to do, because growing up, like, it's kind of an expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And very expensive. And also another thing about it is you have to have a license to do it.
Of course.
I mean, people do not actually get the licenses. They just kind of, they're kind of like pirates, and they do it, you know, of their own volition. But, like, you're technically supposed to have a license. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to wait until I get a license to do this. And then I never did.
Well,
that's,
it's kind of hard. You got to learn Morse code and all that. You know, it's kind of auxiliary network they were using.
Yeah.
Internet and all that stuff, like boats and airplanes, all kinds of people. It was an interesting resource, but just the idea of it and being two-way, right? Not like a telephone that only has a listening part. Here,
right.
Play me this Galva. I want to play this, Hallie.
Sure.
Slips away, believe. Thank you. Thank you.
Bebo Show at Chuck and Music.
What was
started
that?
Started off with Galva from Halle Palumbo. Then we had Brand New from Few. Few Sons got a new album. New Decade. It's called This Tune Was Feedback Tuning. And then we had D Boone from the Feeble Efforts Comp. Themselves. Uncle Ray was asking me about this Double Nickels version, but I told him there was one that preceded that where D Boone actually played the wrench. It's a machine at work. Neil Turpin after that, Herculean song. Neil out of Leeds, England. Drummer man, made a record playing everything. Drummers are having. Suffolk, brand new from Jeff Parker, Chicago cat, who now lives in SoCal. Team Dresch, Molasses in January. Incredible bass player, Donna Dresch. Cedric Noel, brand new from him. Keith, Bronze Age UFO or UFO out of Baltimore with Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mask, Volume 4, Part A1. Yes, a new volume of Rubber Mask Saga. The Board Situation, the Angry Silence, SLWCC Watt, Dracula's Daughter, project out with Sam Locke Ward. And then, in fact, he's got a new project sent me, Boundless Relaxing. We'll play later in the third hour. Finally, Loop 11, Halle Palumbo. Okay, Halle, so your buddy puts out an album when you're 26. I mean, a lot of things happened, right? No more writing. I'm going to get into music. My buddy's going to put out you had to compose and record it and stuff. But what about performances?
Yeah, so it took me a little while to start performing because I wasn't exactly sure how to go about performing because my compositions were already pre-arranged and there wasn't a lot that I could do live because they were kind of like sound collages and I wasn't entirely sure how to translate live performance from my material, but I eventually figured it out, and how I would perform live was I would make kind of like an instrument in the program Ableton where when I press keys on my MIDI controller on my keyboard, it would trigger shortwave radio sounds. So I would add that kind of layer of texture to my pre-composed music, and then I would perform that way. So I got a couple gigs. My first gig was actually
in my... Yeah, tell me about your first gig, Halle.
Yeah, my first gig was in my sister's living room, actually, with a bunch of her younger friends. I wasn't expecting it to go very well because, I was totally new to performing, but it went really, really well and people really responded to it. They kind of were thinking what the hell am I hearing? This is really interesting. And I haven't heard anything like it. That's what people said when I stopped and they approached me and then they had a bunch of questions about shortwave radio. So it was actually a really fulfilling first gig because the people who were there listening, they seemed intrigued by what I was doing because there's kind of an element of mystery to it. So I had a ton of people walking up to me asking, what the hell did I just hear? That was amazing. So it was really gratifying to, kind of mystify people in that way.
Did you use a table?
Oh, yes, I did use a table with a black sheet draped over it because I wanted it to look more mysterious and cool. So I had one of those white folding tables and then I draped a sheet over it.
And no mixed media. No, you didn't have any visual.
No, not yet. Generally now I perform with some kind of visual, whether it's a visual I prepare myself or it's something that a friend does. But at my early shows, I did not do a lot of visuals. But at my maybe fourth or fifth show, actually, I did a show at a pretty big venue here in Chicago. And for visuals, I put two of those big old TVs on each side of me while I was performing. And I played like different kinds of visuals that I recorded onto a VHS. So I had that, and I think that was my first instance of using visuals in my performance, but I do it all the time now.
And how do you monitor yourself? How do you know what you're, do you have amplifiers? Do you use headphones, earbuds?
So sometimes I use headphones, but a lot of the time I'll have the speakers on the stage, kind of like you have speakers pointed at the audience, and then you have one that's like kind of pointed at yourself. So I can, in that way, I can like hear exactly what I'm doing. So that's very, very helpful and useful. So it's generally a monitor speaker that's on stage pointing at me so I can hear exactly what I'm doing while I'm doing it.
And what do you give the sound man? A feed from a little mixer or something?
My interface, yeah. My setup is super easy. I just have my interface and I have a left and right out, and then he hooks it into a soundboard, and then, like, that's it. Very okay. Simple.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because, man, I've seen setups that are like, whoa. And the hit it and quit thing is where
right.
I'd be down your alley more. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why my heart goes out for drummers, right? The guy in the, or girl in the rear with all the gear. But when these electronic bands, some of these cats, whoa. You know, they roll out the whole enchilada. And,
yeah, right. Right. They have a lot of, like, I've seen a lot of electronic and experimental artists who have like a shitload of gear that they have to set up.
Yeah.
And my setup was like setting up takes 30 seconds and breaking everything down takes 30 seconds. So I think that's like sometimes a relief for the sound guy.
Probably everyone involved.
Yeah, no, I'm
no,
sure.
I have seen some people do the whole trip from a crap top or even a leash.
Right.
Fuck. Well, you know, it's everybody's different. Everybody's got their own thing. You know, it's like writing with a fountain pen or Sharpie or, you know, a barn brush. My pop told me when he got his first car, right? He's 50 yards. He painted with a barn brush, so it looked like finger paint. But he said from 50 yards, it looked like a fire truck. But
yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, November 20, 2021. Special guest, Hallie Palumbo. Hold tight for hour two. November 20, 2021, it's the second hour of the Pedro Show.
when he lit my cigar. And asked why I decided to come here. I shrugged and I said that I was tired of where I came from. The ground was swept and I slipped, and I felt on my hip, and his Cuban heels stepped on my fingertips. He said, I wanna taste that cruelty you sing about. I wanna feel that madness. I wanna feel your sadness. The tension in his eyes revealed his suffering. He said, there's lips on the end of the street. And I said, fuck man, this really hurts. That's when he stepped away, blew me a kiss and said, check your mailbox. There's an invite.
Feverish. He'll start off the second hour. Odell, Holly Palumbo, Juan's Dover. Got to play with him last week, Denton, Texas. Night, night, sweet trees. Or maybe sweat trees. Because he did this whole piece about almost dying in the hospital and stuff. And it's really intense. Like one tune was called IV Drip. And I know what that's like. It's thunderously loud because you're just sitting there. Yeah, it's, or laying there. Evil House Party, brand new from them. Invite, Armia, means army, Slovene. Live at Club Kočka in Split, Croatia, 2015. Trobokova, Kušne Peši. Then Bombs Prendon from the DCI area. Here's some pun rock. Mystic Eyes. Okay. And finally, Nebo, Holly Palumbo. Holly, what's your composition process? Does it always start with shortwave?
So, basically, what I do is I will turn a shortwave radio on, and I will kind of, like, I'll scan the, like, I'll just start pressing, like, scan. So I'll listen to, like, a ton of different stations. And when I hear something that is, like, kind of an appealing, like, textural sound, like a static or like maybe Morse code beeping or anything of that nature, I record it. And then when I find stuff that's more like people speaking or an unusual bit of music, I'll use that as kind of like the de facto melody of the song. So I will layer the more textural stuff, so like the static and the beeping and what have you, and that will be like the harmony kind of, and then I will put like the more interesting, like focal point of the composition on top of the textural stuff. So that's kind of how my composition process works. I'll scan the shortwave radio and I'll like collect a bunch of stuff that sounds textural and interesting. And then I'll find like people talking and that'll be like the centerpiece of the song.
And then like you say, they're collages you assemble. So actually,
right.
It's like the record, or traditional musicians would call a recording in a way, but you're not traditional and stuff.
I am not.
Right, right. No, but what I'm saying is there's the work right there.
Yeah.
So in a way, there's no demos, right?
Yeah, no. Actually, there's like literally none, to be honest, because I'm not. It's less of like I don't know. I can't explain it, but no, there are no demos. I can't even think of a single demo.
Well, like you're not preparing
demo.
For the adventure. The adventure is the adventure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting. And then, you know, a few of these tunes you gave me, they all got the first word, loop. So it's kind of a category, kind of a Hallie Palumbo genre thing. She's got her sack of loops, and then there's things with titles.
So, right.
Yeah, I'm going to play loop 7 here, and we can explore that further.
Thank you. summer, and you could seek shelter such spells you're under. Well, I'll be damned if it broke a woman like you. Yeah, I'd be damned because I'm exactly like you. If you need
sounds like such a ridiculous story, so I don't even know if it's right. But didn't you say your dad's mom had 10 children and that when she was 30, she got put into an asylum and she never came out? Okay, so that was true. That was a true story. My great-grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah. What was her name? Do you want to go left?
Carrie Bell Robinson.
Carrie Bell Robinson?
Richmond.
Richmond.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think history's fascinating.
It's fascinating to me. And was she able to see anyone or like talk to anyone? Or she was just like, what sort of stuff did she do in the mental hospital?
They probably gave her liquid shock treatment and kept her medicated. She's quite sad. Yeah.
Does he do any sort of art or anything?
Good question. Our bounds are great.
Wow. And so your grandfather, I mean your dad and his 9 siblings were raised by his father?
Yeah, and then he remarried.
Oh, he remarried?
I don't even know her name.
Okay. What was his dad like?
His dad was a hardworking man at a paper mill.
Interesting.
What's a man going to do with 10 kids in 1940?
Pedro Show. That chunk of music. Start off Halle Palumbo with Loop 7. Then My Daddy Ate My Eyes. G is for Gallows. It's out of Eugene, Oregon. Jerome Byerton and Damon Smith duo from the East. This is a tribute they did to the friend they just lost. Can't remember his name. Brand new from Mama Leek, The White Marble Stone, Just Joy, Well I'll Be Damned, and Halle Palumbo, Truckers. Now Truckers, when I think of, I don't think of shortwave radio, I think of CB radio.
Yes, exactly. So
now, you don't need a license, but, you know, legally you only got 5 watts. Now, I know, I'll tell you, you know, I graduated San Pedro High in 76, in those last 3 years of high school. Or the 3 years, they had me in an electronics shop like 3-4 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
Using slide rule, fixing, these are the machines that punch the cards you would use for the programs. I mean, all this fucking really old-fashioned timey stuff.
Yeah.
What dudes did on the side, though, was build these fucking linear amps. And they would be on the CB radio range with like 1,000-watt limiters talking to Florida, melting antenna off cars. I mean, it was wild-ass shit. So
that's so cool.
Now, my neighbor, and actually my landlord, Vince Perkov, a beautiful guy that we lost way too early, he'd have his handle, you know, his was Paranoid because he loved Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And he'd be there talking, and he was a beautiful man, but I could tell other people were using this shit to be real assholes. And damn it, 40 or 50 years later, is the same fucking paradigm with the internet, right?
Yeah.
Like, CB radio had to jump on all that shit up.
Yeah, absolutely. Every
day is Halloween and you're wearing costumes and being irresponsible. But was this trucker, is that a Kinect using radio but not the shortwave, the CB?
So actually, when you are listening to a general shortwave radio, you can access the band that CB radio is on, but you can't, like, broadcast to them.
Right.
But, yeah, the song that you're talking about, Truckers, was a conversation that I recorded off of CB radio when I was kind of scanning around. And, like, the two guys who were talking were like, so funny. Like, they were saying some crazy, crazy shit. And I thought, like, I must do something with this. These guys are nuts. And, like, I have like, an hour of them talking. I think that song is, like, real short. I was going to do a whole record just of them talking to each other because it was hilarious.
You still got time.
Yeah. I'm going to do it because, like, they're
immortalize the words. You're going to immortalize them.
No, absolutely. I need to do it because people need to hear these guys talking because it was so fucking hilarious, like, unbelievably funny.
All right. And CB, right? No license, no education, you know, learning just how to turn it on and click the button when you want to talk. So, yeah, it has a different kind of gene pool maybe than the ham.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Absolutely, different kind of people.
Yeah. But it's interesting how things are brought together in trippy ways, right? The law of unintended consequences.
Sure.
Yeah, it's really, but for you it's all source stuff. So when we're talking about loop, we're talking about the stuff behind actually the radio stuff, right?
Yeah. So I think the record you're referring to is Cylinder Loops. So
well, you gave me these tunes. So I don't know what albums are from, but Loop 4, Loop 7, so they were all from one record about loops, huh?
Right, exactly. So the those tracks in particular was they're from a record I put out on a label, Astral Editions, and so those aren't shortwave radio at all. Those are samples taken from wax cylinders. There is a wax cylinder archive at University of California, Santa Barbara, and they have like a massive archive of all these like recordings that are like.
I know a little bit about them because I was signed to Columbia Records 14 years. 1888, they're the first label, and that was the only medium they had.
Exactly,
and you
actually
destroyed them by playing them.
Yeah. But it's
thank God for that repository or whatever that archived them because because they're so delicate, right?
Right. Yeah. They're very delicate and easily damaged, and like you can even do stuff like melt them. Like they're really finicky. But the University of California, Santa Barbara, they have a very robust system of digitizing the audio, and then they upload it to this archive that, like, if you ever have time to do it, like, you should poke around on this archive. There are thousands and thousands of wax cylinders. It's everything from like amateur recordings of people like just talking to each other in their houses or, you know, on one of my songs, I used a recording of like a crying baby, which was a really weird wax cylinder. But then there's other stuff where it's a recording of like an actual band in a studio, recorded to wax cylinder. So it's like, it's all over the place what you can record and like what is exactly is in this archive.
Let me tell the listeners, they look like toilet paper rolls.
They look exactly like toilet paper rolls. 100%.
We got to draw a picture for you to put in your mind, visualize.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll never think of them the same way.
Okay,
they're toilet paper rolls now.
We're at the end of the second hour, November 2021. Dish Wapito's your special guest. Hallie Palumbo, Hold Tight Fire 3. November 20, 2021, it's the third hour of the
Watch for Pete. At the building, 1 hour, 28 minutes, coordinated universal time.
¶¶ é um medley que é mais ou menos...
Thank you. float. You are adrift in a sea of the infinite. You are afloat. The water is perfectly still, calm. You lie back, floating at peace effortlessly. The light is dim. There are two suns at the horizon's edge. The dull neon light illuminates the water. You are afloat. You are adrift in an ocean of serenity. The slightest movement causes waves that ripple through eternity. You are the center of all movement in the world. You hold perfectly still, and the water stills with you. In control. You breathe deeply. Inhale. Exhale. You are alone. You could float here forever if you choose. Adrift. Control. You are in absolute total peace, inside and out.
Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Halle Palumbo doing Mabel. And then Drowse, Wait and Bleed, Boundless Relaxation. This is Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City. Afloat. And then Carlos Bill. And this is a bass man. He sent me this. An Allegro do Futebol Nacionales da Felicidade. So, Portuguese, I think. And, bass brother. Halle Palumbo, loop 4. So, Halle, how about collabs?
Oh, like collaboration with other people.
Yeah, that was an abbreviation.
Yeah, no, I thought so. For a second, I'm like, what'd you ask me? I don't know why, I was dumb, but like, yeah, no. So I do some collaborations, and I definitely like to do more. That's kind of like a New Year's resolution of sorts for 2022 is, to make like maybe an entire record of collaborations, like with other musicians. So the record that I'm working on right now also is one, that, it still includes the shortwave radio stuff, but I also want to hire, or like look within my own circle of friends, musicians. Like I'm looking for a cellist, a violinist, an upright bass player to, record. So, the shortwave radio stuff that I compose will be kind of, paired with like either studio musicians or friends, like a kind of a more traditional orchestra sound. So that's something that I'm going to be working on in 2022. And then as far as like, just more informal collaborations go, I will do those like once in a blue moon, but it's not something that like I've been doing anywhere near as much as I'd like to.
And you're going to hire a stand-up bass, or are you going to go back and start playing it again?
That is a very good question. I haven't, to be honest, I haven't picked up an upright bass in years. So I wonder if it's a kind of thing where like I'd be able to pick it up and like, you know, in a few weeks get like right back to where I was when I put it down and like be able to do my own upright bass on my record.
I can give you an example. James Williamson, this is after we lost Ronnie, and he wanted to do that part of the Stooges. He hadn't played pert near 30 years.
Yeah.
And he was pretty rough, but it came back. I think it came, maybe not like the bicycle thing so easy, you have to work at it, but I don't think it's totally lost.
You're right.
And I did lose some of it just from a surgery and stuff where they put tubes in me and had to stop playing. And I couldn't believe once your muscles atrophy. But if you work at it, I think it can come back. I think it's a trippy kind of tattoo. Maybe you don't lose it.
I hope not, because it would be very gratifying to be able to play upright on my own record. Just because, like I was saying, I haven't played in so long, and if I was able to like pick it up and get back into it and kind of go back to where I started when I put it down, that would be very gratifying to be able to do that on my own record, as opposed to like hire someone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, that can mean something to, cause then whenever you bring somebody in artistic, that leads to possibilities too, you know? So it's trippy.
Yeah.
With this idea of the collab, you know, let's say not musician, because I hear a cinematic. Have you ever worked with film people, photography people?
Yes, I'm currently scoring a documentary for one of my friends, so I'm kind of like getting into that mindset, and it's going really well. And it's something that I would like to explore in a more like professional money making capacity. Because right now I work some bullshit office job, and I would love to be able to, for money, just to solely do composition for film or, you know, whatever. So that's kind of a personal goal, to be able to like turn that into like a primary source of like of income, because it would be so much more fulfilling than what I'm currently doing for money.
You know,
so,
how many musician friends?
Do I have a lot of musician friends?
I'm asking you, do you know how many musician friends I have that told me that also?
Oh, no, no.
I wish we
had
more support for the arts, you know, but it's just ridiculous. Look, last chunk of music, you gave me this. I don't know what it's part of, but it's just three numbers, 7, 5, 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you said, I got something from Godspeed Black Emperor. You were talking about that label, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, let's
Anyways, let's see, what else? It was Coney Island. They called Coney Island the playground of the world. There was no place like it in the whole world like Coney Island when I was a youngster. No place in the world like it. It was so fabulous. Now it shrunk down to almost nothing, you see. And I still remember in my mind how things used to be. And, you know, I feel very bad. But people from all over the world came here. From all over the world. It was a playground. They call it the playground of the world over here. Anyways, when I was very small, I even got lost in Coney Island, but they found me on the beach. And we used to sleep on the beach here, sleep overnight. They don't do it anymore. Things changed, see. They don't sleep anymore on the beach.
For Pivo Show, last music for this edition. Howie Palumbo with 759. Then Godspeed Ye Black, Speed You, Black Emperor with Sleep. And finally, Howie Palumbo, Duga 3. You want to enlighten us to those titles?
Yeah, sure. So 759 is literally like, I'm shit at titling my stuff, so, like, oftentimes I'll just, like, pick, like, a quality of the music, or, like, you know, like, a word I like, but, 759 is, it's called that because of the guy saying 759 over and over again, the shortwave radio little piece that I found where he's just repeating that number over and over again, until, like, the end of the song, so I thought like, okay, what the hell, I'll just call it 759. That works. Yeah, so I did that. And then the title of Duga 3, so I'm pretty fascinated with like abandoned radio stations and kind of radio oddities. And Duga 3 is a part of a radar system in Russia, kind of close to Chernobyl. And I thought like, that just sounds really cool. I'm going to title this song that. It has nothing to do with like the actual song, really. It's just like a word that I thought was cool sounding, which is like how I title all of my music.
Now you got a website. Where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm at HaleyPalumbo.com.
Spell it.
Oh, sure. So HALI, and then P as in Paul. ALOM is in Mary, BO.com.
Yeah.
And then my Instagram is honestly a better way to kind of like get a look into what I'm doing.
Well, you probably got a link to it on your home, your own website, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Everything's linked there.
Right, great. I went to it, and I found a bunch of interesting stuff. I liked it, so people check it out. So the immediate music you're doing right now, like you said, you're working on a record right now, finishing?
Yeah.
And then you're looking forward to a soundtrack?
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking for these collaborations with these string players.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. So three kind of different fronts, but united by music and vision. And, you know, you got to thank your grandpa for that time at that family thing where you guys got bored of them and wanted to listen to people you didn't know.
Yes. That was, I consider that moment to be, like, an extremely formative and life-changing part of my life, because if he didn't like pull out his radio at that barbecue, like,
right.
I don't know if I ever would have even known about or gotten into shortwave radio at all. So that was like instrumental, no pun intended, in like my development as a musician, and like,
yeah,
hugely valuable experience.
Yeah, experiences can have consequences. People see change.
Yep.
Big sea change for you. And I'm interested in what you got coming. So please come back on the show and let's talk about it.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Blake, for the connect. People, it's been November 20, 2021 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.